the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. During the great fast, we are called to cast off the trappings of our life, to seek a closer spiritual connection with our God, our prayer life, and also our salvation. There are many ways to do this. Some seek out the many weekly services of Great Lent. Others seek out the quiet and prayerful contemplation of a monastery. Some find that connection with God by being in the beauty of His creation. And you know, and when thinking about the beauty of God's creation, it's interesting to note that all that life goes about the business of living without our supervision, without our control, all under the design and supervision of God. Unfortunately, in many cases these days, humans seem to be contributing to its detriment rather than its grandeur. As the Vesper Psalm states, "All things wait on thee to give them their food in due season." Reflecting on how little control and power we truly have in the world brought me to a teaching for this Sunday. So throughout Great Lent, especially in the Great Compline, we say the prayer of St. Ephrem the Syrian. And one of the things this prayer asks God to remove from us is the spirit of lust of power. In his book, The Lenten Spring, Father Thomas Hopko reflects on this passage. Clearly, we are not kings or emperors who, on our own, wield great power so as to control governments or large communities of people. Just how much power could we possibly lust after? But it's not about power on a grandiose scale that this prayer speaks about. It's about our desire to put our will first before God's will. It's about our desire to get our way rather than to discern God's way. Where do we have the opportunity to exercise this sort of lust of power? In our relationships, in our work life, sometimes even in our churches. Isn't a marriage a place where lust of power could creep in? Where one party could work to manipulate the other, to take control? Certainly this is possible, and it's exactly why the epistle reading for marriage is so important. When St. Paul reminds us that in marriage we should be submitting to one another in the fear of God. A healthy marriage has no lust of power because both parties work to the betterment of the other, which in turn leads to the betterment of the couple, which is centered around God. Well, what about at work? Where does lust of power come in there? Certainly a desire to advance in one's career is not sinful. But it can be if it's done by climbing over the backs of everyone else. Do we go to work with a lust of power or in fear of God? Do we only bring God with us when we come to church? Or do we find a way to incorporate God into all our works, even those in the secular world? While we may not be in a work environment where we can kick off the staff meeting with a prayer, we can certainly start our day with personal prayer. And we can also become a servant leader that works to the betterment of the membership of the community of work and raises them all up as individuals. What about at church? There's an old saying that Satan enters the church through the choir loft. Now, no, this is not a commentary on our choir. The choir members are typically the people who are here every time we gather in church, are the most connected to the actual services underway because of their active participation therein. They research the upcoming texts and hymns and come prepared to deliver the hymnography as they exercise their ministry of music. But this old saying uses irony to remind us that Satan works to find a way in to corrupt us and will use all means at his disposal. How easy would it be to turn someone's joyful song to the Lord into a prideful song for themselves? Whether it be the choir, a committee, or even the parish council, all Satan needs is to get a foothold, is to turn our minds from submitting to one another to a mind where there is lust of power. And while I am so thankful that we have not seen these behaviors even once here at St. Simeon, we must always be vigilant, for the evil one is relentless and tireless. Even the disciples of Christ who walked with him throughout his ministry were not immune to these temptations. As we see in today's gospel, how many of you heard teenagers, when they're getting towards the car, call shotgun because they want to sit in the front passenger seat? Well, in today's gospel, James and John, just like those teenagers, called shotgun, asking for the front row seats at the throne of the Godhead. In short, they see the kingdom as a place of honor for themselves, even over the other disciples, and they take this opportunity to attempt to cut the line. Think how far from submitting to one another they were at that moment. But reading further, we see that the other disciples were no better. They were indignant with James and John, but this was because they were too slow to call shotgun themselves. So while Jesus could certainly have gotten angry with this behavior, because it was childish, because it was really ignorant, he showed patience with their sins and tried to teach them that they didn't understand what they were asking for, and that the glory they were requesting only comes as a reward for lowliness. Indeed, in this case, the lowly and lonely walk towards martyrdom. Jesus did not have to lust for power. He has power. He is power. Jesus, by his divine nature, is God. There is no more power than that. All-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere present, existing before the creation of the universe. But what about his human nature? He fulfilled all the commandments of God and through his sacrifice restored our relationship with God. Jesus had all authority on heaven and earth. How did he act with all this power? He submitted in deference to God the Father. He washed the disciples' feet. He had all authority to exert his will, to demand godly reverence, and to be first of all. Does Jesus do this? No, he does not. As Father Hopko writes, Christ reveals what power and authority really look like in their divine content and perfect expression. Serving his Father and serving his people and loving them to the end. Jesus reminds his disciples that whoever wishes to be first among you will be a slave to all. He then reminds them the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. This is why we pray St. Ephrem's prayer. The more authority we have, the more responsibility we have, the more knowledge we have, the more experience we have, the harder it becomes to serve others. Lust of power can start out with simple recognition that we have maybe have more knowledge than someone else, more experience than someone else, a superior title to someone else. Those are facts, but they are not a license to enforce our will just for our own sake. Clearly, a ship doesn't sail true without a rudder, but a godly-minded leader will set a course for the group that lifts up the entire group, developing a team in which all have the good of the group as its goal. So today, we also commemorate Mary of Egypt. Mary used her body as a source of her power for many years, and only after her miraculous encounter with the power of God at the church in Jerusalem does she completely change her life and go to the desert and cast off her old lifestyle. As the Apologetician for her says, to attend to the concerns of the undying soul. After her miraculous revelation, she spent 47 years in the desert in repentance, working to cast off the lust of power she had in her former existence in search of the glorious rest she was promised. After 47 years in the desert, she gave her life confession to the priest monk Zosimus, and then waited yet another year for his return so she could receive the Holy Eucharist, and soon after this, achieving that glorious rest as she fell asleep in the Lord. May we learn from the lessons of the church today about what St. Ephrem calls lust of power, and how Satan can use that sin to infiltrate our relationships. May we look to Christ's example and remember that power and authority have their perfect expression in the service of God the Father and his people. May we look also to Mary of Egypt as an example of repentance. And finally, may we always remember to look to the Lord's example of how to be a servant leader who loved his people even to the end. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.